Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Happy Monday. Coming up on today's show, we'll recap week 11 in the NFL and let you know how we did. We'll preview the World Cup futures and who should win it all. Plus, we'll preview Monday Night Football between the 49ers. You see, I got my Bang Bang Niner Gang sweatshirt on versus the Cardinals and give you our best bets. Of course, you've got some Mox Locks coming your way as well. First, we will welcome in not Mr. Monday, not Danny Brasco today. We have Kenny Betts Big here on a Monday, starting the week off strong. How you doing, Kenny?
I'm feeling good. You know, I got the big shoes to fill. I know Brasco has been killing it on the Monday shows. And for everyone wondering, I did find my wallet.
Where was it?
It was in my pants.
Oh, all right. Well, I thought there was going to be some great feel-good story, but whatever. In your pants. Good, good. You found it in your pants.
I don't pocket from the night before.
I don't need to elaborate on finding something in your pants. All right, let's move on to the Mox Thought, and let's recap some of the games from this weekend and how we did. Jets versus the Patriots. Patriots defeat the Jets 10-3. And I got to tell you, Kenny, this really pissed me off because I took the Jets in this one, and it would have been great except for the punt return to a touchdown. Why didn't they punt out of bounds?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're thinking that. I'm thinking that. Jets fans are thinking that. Anyone watching the game's thinking that. But you gotta tip your hat to Bill, right? Bill B. I mean, preserving the clock, calling the timeouts. I feel like a lot of coaches would just let the game end in that time and settle for overtime. But 5 seconds on the clock, he calls the timeout, and lo and behold, they win the game. It's just classic Bill Belichick.
Classic Bill Belichick, classic Jets. I will say, I think the thing that everyone is talking about is post-game, Zach Wilson, reporter asks him, do you feel like you let the defense down? And he very quickly said no, which to me is total BS. You look at someone like Josh Allen, who is an incredible quarterback who wins the game for his football teams more times than not, and he'll sit out there and he'll say, hand up, I played like and you can't win games if your quarterback plays like that. So, and he takes responsibility. Someone like Zach Wilson, who has not earned anything in this league, up there saying, after you held Bill Belichick and the Patriots to 3, no touchdowns for the entire game until, of course, the punt return, you're going to sit there and say, no, you didn't let the defense down? Come on now.
Yeah, that it's never a good look. And then, you know, they asked Garrett Wilson, which those guys I feel like have had beef for a couple weeks now. He was quoted saying, yeah, it's not okay. So it's okay to Zach Wilson, but I don't think to the other guys in the locker room, it's not okay. And you don't like to see that from the quarterback position, who is supposed to be your, you know, leader in the locker room, leader on the field. You want those guys to step up and take accountability when they do have bad games.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, Zach Wilson has not had many good games. So, I don't think he's had any good
quarterback.
Games.
He's not a very good quarterback. The Jets defense is elite this year. That is what has won them games. Zach Wilson is not a good quarterback.
It's not. Yeah, not by any means. You know, as a Pats fan, I love to see it. Before the game, I actually thought the Jets plus 3.5 was a good bet.
Punt return.
Yeah, it reminds me of, you remember a long time ago, it was more exciting in that game, the Giants, when they were playing the Eagles, and the Eagles were down big. They make this crazy comeback. Look, I think there was probably like 8 seconds left on the clock, and they punted to DeSean Jackson, and he does the same exact thing, returns it for the game-winning touchdown. Exciting play, first punt return touchdown of the year, so happy to see my Pats get it done.
Yeah, and my bank account is unhappy to see your Pats get it done because I felt like that was in the bag. Okay, let's move over to the next New York team that also had a really terrible loss that nobody expected, Lions and Giants. The Lions defeat the Giants 31-18. Nobody thought that Dan Campbell could win, you know, 3 games in a row. And then here he is, and here are those Lions. And maybe this is the Lions team that people thought they were going to see after watching Hard Knocks at the beginning of the season. I lost money on this game as well. I did not see this one coming. What did you think?
Yeah, I didn't touch this game. I will say the Lions was definitely the sharp side. So I want to say nobody thought the Lions were going to pull that off because sharps were all over the Lions yesterday, plus 3. It is surprising because the Lions haven't looked great. The defense has been very bad. So seeing them hold the Giants team to 18 points, pretty impressive on their end. But it is the Giants still. I know the Giants have overperformed. They've looked nice. They're a good story. But coming into this year, the expectations were not that high for this team. Yeah. So, you know, it's not shocking that they lost to the Lions, especially when you see who they play on a short week.
You look at the Lions record and you look at the Giants record. I mean, I know that the Giants were 7-1 in single possession games. So a lot of people thought they were just kind of the luckiest team in the league. And on the flip side of that, the Lions, I think, were like 2-6 in single possession games. So they were like the unluckiest team. But they run outright in this one. I mean, there was no luck involved. This was, they outplayed New York.
No, yeah. And in the NFL, like those things, like, you know, I talk about it every week. Week to week, a lot of luck is involved. You know, look at last year, the Raiders, I think they were like 6-1 in one possession games. This year, they, other than yesterday against the Broncos, I don't think they have won a one possession game until yesterday. So, yeah, you know, it always changes. Obviously, game of inches depends which way the ball bounces. But I also think the Giants got caught looking ahead here. You know, you play the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, short week. It was them and the Cowboys for second place in the division. Yeah. Obviously, you know, the Eagles dropping that one game. The division is tight. It's up for grabs right now. So I think they just got caught looking ahead. I love the Giants this week on Thursday versus the Cowboys.
Ooh, really? Okay. Well, to your point, though, the Giants did fall in the NFC East as Cowboys move up in second due to head-to-head record. Okay, so let's just talk about the Cowboys then, since you think they're going to win next week. They beat the Vikings. I mean, it was a blowout. 40-3 beat the Vikings. Now, I had Dak Prescott over 1.5 passing touchdowns. He had 2. This was a game that I actually got right. I stayed off of the side because I just think that the Vikings are a little bit of frauds. I don't know if it's Kirk Cousins or what it is, but putting my money on the Vikings is just not something that I've been willing to do this year, which, you know, hasn't exactly made me a lot of money, but it's just is what it is. What do you think of this game?
This one, I got caught on the trap. I took the Vikings first half plus a half. I just figured it would... I thought the Cowboys was the right play, especially when, you know, I heard you talking about it on the show Friday. I was just like a weird line, right? You have the 8-1 Vikings.
Super weird line. Yeah. Yep.
And you know, we know doing this as a professional better. I know when you see those weird lines, you just take the weird line. You just take the Cowboys there. You hold your nose and don't think about it. Unfortunately, I got too cute. I thought it would be a tight game. I didn't see it playing out the way it did. I thought it would be a close game to the end, like back and forth kind of thing. So I took the Vikings first half plus a half, hoping maybe they're up or tied going into the half. And then I could take the Cowboys second half. That did not work out. I think we saw, you know, like you said, the Vikings a little fraudulent. You know, great team, a lot of nice pieces, but
they're not going to the Super Bowl. They're not going to go far in the playoffs. Everybody is super, super high on them, but I think we're starting to see cracks in that armor. And it showed versus the Cowboys, because I don't really think the Cowboys are that great of a team either.
Yeah, that I was just going to ask you that. Like, do you think that win puts the Cowboys up? Because, you know, I think in the NFC, it's the Niners and Bucks really at the top of the tier. And then you have like the Eagles, the Vikings and the Cowboys kind of right below them.
Yeah.
Do you think the Cowboys with that win, it was a big statement win, obviously 40-3 in Minnesota is impressive.
It was a big statement win, but no, I think, you know, look, I think in January, mid-January, it might be Niners and Cowboys again, and we will bounce them out 2 years in a row.
Yeah. You better hope.
That's what I think. Okay, let's move on to Sunday Night Football. Chiefs versus the Chargers. Always a fun one. The Chiefs defeat the Chargers 30-27. Patrick Mahomes just being Patrick Mahomes. Although I will say I thought that Herbert played really, really well yesterday. I had been saying, and we've been saying on this show, that he just hasn't been the same since that week 2 injury. And even though he's had good moments, he hasn't really had a consistent good game. I did think that this was pretty consistent from him, a very, very, very good game. It's just that you give Patrick Mahomes that time, you give them the momentum, that's what's going to happen. Of course, Chiefs did not cover the spread, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes is still undefeated in divisional road games.
Yeah, how impressive is that, right? Like, I saw that that stat earlier today that the Raiders, Broncos, and Chargers have never seen their team beat Mahomes in the state in their own stadiums. I think he locked up the MVP last night.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for my Lamar Jackson bets, he's pretty much faded away and those are gone. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes just, you know, I had the Chargers plus 7. I had them first half as well, plus 3.5 that I locked in earlier the week before that line dropped. And, you know, obviously that was never in question. I knew the Chargers were going to cover that game. But when they go down, take the lead, and there's, what was there, like a minute something, 2 minutes on the clock, you know that's just too much time for Patrick Mahomes. I think the whole world kind of felt what was coming there.
Kelsey, another hat trick. This is his second hat trick of this season. I mean, we had said, and you had said, and I also said, we'll pat ourselves on the back here, that Kelsey was going to be the number one receiver for Patrick Mahomes. And I mean, it's two games with three touchdowns each. It's incredible for a tight end.
Yeah, Kelsey's been balling, and you know, it hasn't been talked about a ton, but picking up Kadarius Toney, super underrated pickup by the Chiefs, because he's such an explosive receiver on the outside. And you know, obviously he used to have Tyreek Hill, who's probably the most explosive player in the NFL, but he's just a different type of explosive. He's not that big physical body that Kadarius Toney is, who can, you know, go up, you know, make a crazy play, you know, in a contested area, you know, because Tyreek Hill is obviously a little smaller. So yeah, I think the Chiefs coming down the stretch here, when they get Schuster back, Kadarius Toney, obviously Kelsey, the Chiefs, man, you know, I think they're the team to beat in the AFC. I know a lot of people are high on the Bills. I've been saying it all year. The Bills are not winning the Super Bowl. And yeah, it's not.
I mean, look, I want the, at this point, I want the 49ers to win the Super Bowl. I didn't think the Niners were contenders at the beginning of the season. So I have a ticket on the Bills to win the Super Bowl. And man, it just, I want it so bad for Buffalo, you know, for the Bills fans. And, you know, I love Josh Allen too. He's another, you know, I don't know if I've probably talked about this 50 times, but all of the best quarterbacks in the league, you know where they're from? They're from Northern California, and they all grew up 49ers fans. That's why they're good. That's why they're good.
It's pretty funny, right? Like Brady's from California. You see all these guys. Yeah, I think Rodgers is from California.
Yes, so, all from Northern California, not Southern California. They're all from the Bay Area or right outside of it. And then Josh Allen as well. All grew up 49ers fans. And then there's people like Julian Edelman as well grew up. But yeah, I mean. Who was a quarterback in college. Thank you. All right. Yeah. So here we go. Okay, let's
hold on. I want to ask you first, before we move on. Yes. So you were a big backer of the Bills coming into this year in the first couple weeks, right?
Yeah.
After seeing the last few weeks, do you think, are you seeing chinks in the armor? Do you think they're still that juggernaut that people thought they were after like after the first 4 weeks of the season, people were thinking that the Bills are hands down the best team in the league. I feel like they've come back down to earth now, right?
I think a little bit, but I think that the seasons ebb and flow, right? You look at people like the Niners who sucked at the beginning of the season, even last year, and then came back, you know, to the NFC Championship game and were just basically, you know, one pick away from going into the Super Bowl. I think that the Bills are still a juggernaut, and they've slipped a little bit in the beginning of the season, and then they're gonna bounce back. Obviously, they had a big win this weekend, not necessarily the hardest win for them to ever have, but they did lose to the Jets. So I still believe in the Bills. I do.
I'm just praying for another Chiefs-Bills rematch in the playoffs. That's all I want to see.
I would like the Bills to just be on the good side of some kind of historic game. Just for once.
I mean, they changed the rules, but you want to see them win the coin toss this time.
I want to see them win the coin toss. I want to see them win the game. It's been their game against the Vikings this year. It's like they're just on the wrong side of history 2 years in a row. So hopefully, you know, they're on the right side of history in the end when they lose to the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Got to throw that in there.
Yeah, I can't actually say that I want them to win at this point. All right, people, we're brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odd boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today and get more with every wager. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700. Starting your own business, it can be a total roller coaster. Between all the bumpy twists and turns comes the actual business side of your business, which can really throw you for a loop. Luckily, with QuickBooks, you can manage your business with confidence from the start. So no matter how bumpy the ride gets, you can always stay on track. New business, no problem. Success starts with Intuit QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now for Capper's Corner. The World Cup kicked off on Sunday with Ecuador beating host country Qatar 2-0, which I thought that Qatar had paid to win the first round, but obviously not. Let's go ahead and take a look at the World Cup futures. Who can potentially win the tournament? You got Brazil as the favorite, plus 340, followed by Argentina, who's Messi's team. This is his last World Cup. You got France at plus 750. Spain, England, Germany, Portugal, USA, plus 10,000. One of the three youngest teams in the tournament. Kenny, who's going to win this? Is it the USA?
It's not the USA. Yeah. unfortunately for us Americans, it's not. The team looks good, though. This is probably, you know, the most excitement around U.S. soccer in a long time. So
for men.
I'm curious to see how they perform. They're very young, this team. So, you know, even if they don't win the World Cup, but if they have a good performance, I think it sets them up for in 4 years for the next World Cup, which I think the next one or the one after that is in the U.S. So hopefully, you know, they're primed at that point.
That's exciting. I'll get to who you think is going to win the entire thing. But obviously, we got USA coming up today in an hour at 1 p.m. We obviously filmed this earlier than y'all see it. Does USA get out of the first round versus Wales? Wales hasn't been to the World Cup in a long time.
Yeah. So I do think the U.S. will advance out of the group. Obviously, England had the 6-2 win today to start off and play for them. I think England will win the group and U.S. should come in second in there to advance to the next round. But yeah, I mean, Wales is good. They still have Gareth Bale. Obviously, when he plays for his country, he's a magician out there on the soccer field. You know, he can do some pretty crazy things. So it's an interesting group, but I think the U.S. will advance.
Oh, God, I hope so. I can't wait to watch it in an hour. All right, who wins the whole thing?
Little bit of a Homer pick. I am part Portuguese, but...
Oh, I'm like Homer. Okay, yeah.
I'm going to go with Portugal here. You can find him at plus 1,500 on Caesar Sportsbook.
Ooh.
You look at the top five favorite teams. Brazil is the favorite for a reason. They are stacked. You look at them top to bottom. There's an insane playmaker at every position.
They're like the Bills.
I'd say they're more like the Chiefs. You know, led by Neymar. He would be the Patrick Mahomes version. I think Brazil, obviously, just looking at the teams, they should be the favorite, rightfully so. I think they have a very strong chance to make it to the finals. But obviously, they're plus 300. The value is not really there to take them there. But Portugal, big key for them is to win their group. If they win their group, they will be able to avoid playing Brazil. That's a big key. You don't want to have to play Brazil. You don't want to have to face Argentina, like those teams. You want to try and have an easier draw going towards the finals. So winning the group for Portugal is key. That's big, avoiding Brazil, avoiding Argentina, those teams. When they advance, they'll have to face teams like a France, which I think France, obviously another very good team, but no Pogba this year. There's a couple teams, a couple players left off of that team from previous years who they found success with. And you just look at this Portugal team. Obviously, we all know they have Cristiano Ronaldo. CR7 is the GOAT. Don't at me on that. He's better than Lionel Messi. But it's interesting because in years past, it's always been kind of Ronaldo or bust, right? It's kind of like the players get caught standing around and just let Ronaldo do his thing out there. But this year, this team is very good. They're very deep. They have Bernardo Silva, you know, Bruno Fernandes, Rafael Leao, who won MVP in the Serie A league, João Felix, another great player. Sorry, I got to work on my Italian, right? But they have a very deep team. So at plus 1,500, I like the payout there. I like their chances. They're a very good defensive team. And this World Cup is a little different than previous World Cups. One, because it's being held not in the summer like we're used to seeing. It's in the fall because of how hot Qatar is in the summer. But that I feel like could change things, because when they're played in the summer, that's usually the end of the normal club season for a lot of these players, right? So like they're kind of in their off season doing their thing. When it's played now, this is like right in the thick of club season for a lot of these players. Portugal plays a very defensive scheme. I think it's easier to kind of play a defensive game rather than kind of have to throw a bunch of pieces together, different players, and kind of perfect an offensive scheme. Does that make sense? Like it's easier to kind of sit back and defend than it is to draw up like counterattacks and, you know, different attacking methods against teams. So I really like Portugal here. You know, the only trophy Ronaldo hasn't won, the World Cup. He's been a little down the last few years. But I've been saying for a while, I think he's preserving himself for this World Cup. So I think we're going to see vintage Ronaldo here. And I like their chances at plus 1,500.
All right. Well, if you like vintage Ronaldo here, let's talk about the coveted World Cup Golden Boot, which I assume is essentially just like the MVP. And you got Lionel Messi, who's second in the standings, plus 900. Ronaldo, plus 2,000. Who do you think wins the Golden Boot?
So on this, I would, because it would kind of be like somewhat of a hedge against the Portugal future bet. Okay. I would probably go Neymar. Obviously, Brazil's best player. Brazil has the best chance to win, according to the odds. So taking their best player to, you know, win the Golden Boot award kind of just makes sense there, especially when you see him at plus 1,200. So, I like Neymar for that award, just because I do think Brazil, you know, is a safe bet to make it far in this tournament.
All right, well, let's move on to American football now and preview the 49ers, the Bang Bang Niner Gang, who's taking on the Cardinals tonight in Mexico City, NFC West Divisional Showdown. Favorites are 4-0 against the spread in Mexico City. Overs are 2-2. The Niners spent the week in Colorado getting used to the altitude. The Cardinals did not. Mexico City is 7,200 feet above sea level. I believe where the Niners were is like 6,800 or something. So they were kind of getting themselves ready. I don't know why the Cardinals didn't do the same thing, but I'm actually kind of glad that they didn't. Murray is out. Hopkins is questionable. Colt McCoy expected to get the start. He's 3-1 against the spread as a starter, including beating San Francisco last year. The 49ers allow the fewest yards in the NFL, and they are undefeated right now in the NFC West. Niners money line minus 365. Yikes. And the spread is 10, which is absolutely wild to me, even as a 49ers fan. Over under, this has dropped to 42.5. I will say Jimmy G 1-6-1 as an over one touchdown favorite. Not the best. What do you think?
And you know, I've talked about it to you many times. Kyle Shanahan is not the best at covering the spreads as a big favorite either. Especially at home and on the road. So I lean Cardinals here with the points. I'm going to wait till you might as well wait till game time. This line's not coming down. If anything, it's just going to keep climbing higher. So I think it's sitting at 10 right now. I don't know if I want to bet the Cardinals, though. It's one of those games.
I totally thought you'd be on the Cardinals on this one.
Yeah, and if I do decide to bet the game, like a side here, I will end up betting the Cardinals. You know, we look a few weeks ago, like the Texans versus the Eagles, right? A similar kind of setup. Texans were a huge underdog. I think a 13-point dog there.
Yeah.
No one thought they even had a chance against the Eagles at that point in time. And they covered the game. They almost won the game. So I do think 10, 11, 12, 13, wherever this settles, is too many points for a division matchup. I feel like you kind of think that too, as you're saying, you don't want to bet. So I kind of
Here's the thing. I don't bet against the Niners, right? So if I don't just take the Niners against a spread just because I'm like willing it to happen and I would love it to happen. I'm not giving the Niners 10. I'm fairly confident. I'm very confident that the Niners will win this game. I think we're a better team and I think we're better prepared for it, having gone and practiced in high altitude. But I'm not giving him 10 points. I think that Colt McCoy has actually played a little bit better than Kyler Murray has. And I feel like that offense has been clicking. Now, the bigger question mark to me is Hopkins and if he's going to be out. But they're down, what, four offensive linemen? They're going to have a hard time stopping Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. Niners win this game. I'm not willing to give them 10 points. So I agree with you.
Yeah, I feel like it could be one of those games where we see like the Niners up 14, you know, 20 points like the whole game, and the Cardinals last minute, 2 minutes, they score a backdoor touchdown, cover the spread.
Okay, so you're laying off the full game, as am I. I also don't really want to touch the total on this one either. I feel like, if anything, and we talk about this on all the time, put it in a teaser, you know, your standard six-point teaser. You get the Niners down to -4. You can get, the total up to 49 or something and get the under on that. That I would probably do. And I think it's at -120, but I'm not taking a side exactly. Is there any prop bets that you're looking at?
Yeah, and this is another game, too, where we did it with the Chargers game last Monday or something like that, where we said you can tease both teams, both over under, four different bets, and you could hit all of them. I think this is another game where you could hit all of them if you do that. But I'm looking at George Kittle props and Christian McCaffrey props.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah to George Kittle. Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, obviously, I don't watch, every Niner game like you do, but I feel like the Niners are at their best when George Kittle's involved in the game plan and making plays with them.
Yes. And if we're doing that, he's just a momentum changer. And I was listening to the announcers, the other week, and they're like, I feel like the 49ers game doesn't really start until Kittle gets a good reception and gets things going. And it does. It absolutely shifts everything. So I agree with you. And then I've got more on this one.
Yeah. And you just look, the Cardinals, 31st in regards to DVOA versus opposing tight ends.
Yes.
They're number one, though, versus opposing number one wide receivers. So, I don't think the game plan here is going to be let's get the ball to Deebo Samuel. I think this will be a game maybe we see Deebo Samuel more as a running back than a receiver. I like the Kittle over 41.5 receiving yards. That's -119 on Caesars. I think you could take his reception prop, 4.5. I think we'll see that hit.
3.5. It's 3.5. It's so low.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry. Yeah. McCaffrey's is 4.5. Yeah. Kittle 3.5. Yeah. I mean, 4 catches, 41.5 yards. I see him easily going over both of those.
I'm saying this right here. Take Kittle over on everything tonight. Arizona has allowed the most targets, 9, catches, 7.5, and yards, 77.8 per game to tight ends this season. Kittle has had more than 3.5 receptions in 6 of 8 career games, including 6 straight. The Cardinals have allowed 9 of 11 tight ends to go over their receptions prop and 7 of 11 to go over their receiving yards prop. And look, tight ends who have scored touchdowns, I also like him for any time catch. I'm taking Kittle on absolutely everything tonight. If you look at who has scored, tight ends who have scored against Arizona, Kelce, Waller, Juwan Johnson, starting tight ends who didn't score but had a lot of yards, Higbee, 61 and 73 yards, Fant, 45 and 96 yards, Goddard, 95 yards. Like, Kittle's going to have a day. And no one is more excited to be in Mexico City than George Kittle is either. Have a day, George Kittle. Have a day. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The Cardinals can't stop the tight end. I remember when they played the Seahawks. The Seahawks ran literally the same play the whole entire game, and they were just burning the Cardinals defense every single time. Little tight end leak out into the flats. I'm with you there. I think Kittle has a monster game. Maybe even look to take some of his alternate receiving yards bets.
Oh my God. Yeah. There was an alternate receiving yard that I saw for him to have 100 yards, something. It's at +800. I don't know what book that's on, but that might be just a fun one to sprinkle a little bit on. I will say on the Cardinals side, and it's not posted yet. So when it comes about, go ahead and look at it, but I would take an over depending on what it is on Colt McCoy's pass attempts. So the Niners rank 3rd against the run. So that Kingsbury is going to be needing to be very aggressive with the passing game. Last week, McCoy threw for 238 yards against the Rams, who have the 5th ranked team against the run. He had 26 completions, 37 attempts. He had a 70.3 completion percentage, and he actually opened the game with 11 straight passes. So I do think that they're going to be passing the ball a lot more. And so take a look at what his, pass completions is or pass attempts are, and that might be a good one to go over. I don't know what it is yet. It's been off the board, but I'm sure as soon as he is fully confirmed, I've seen reports saying that he is starting, but that'll come to the book soon.
Yeah, I like that one, especially when you just when I take props, I always like to think of how I can see the game playing out. So, yeah, I don't see the Cardinals having much success on the ground versus the Niners. And I also don't see, you don't want to leave Colt McCoy a sitting duck back there against this Niners pass rush. So I think they're going to have to rely on little short, quick passes, screens, little slant. Yep. So, yeah, the over completions, over pass attempts. Great, great bet. Great angle there.
All right. Any other thing you're looking at for this game?
Just McCaffrey. I'm going to go McCaffrey over receiving yards.
Run and, CMC?
Yeah. Run CMC, baby. That's it. McCaffrey receiving yards, 35 and a half on Caesars. It's minus 127. His catches is 4.5 receptions. So I like both of those too. The Cardinals are 30th in the NFL in regards to DVOA versus opposing running backs coming out of the backfield. So I just think the Niners offense is poised for a big game here. I think McCaffrey and Kittle will get involved and they should get it done.
I agree. I'm also going to take Jimmy G over 1.5 rush yards. And this might seem, I think the Niners are going to win. So of course you got to deal with the victory kneel or something at the end of the game. But Jimmy has over 2 rush yards in 3 of his last 4 games. He has never had less than 2 in his career against Arizona. In fact, the last 3 games, he had 3, 9, and 7 yards. So I just feel like that's kind of just like a fun one too. But again, you got to watch out for the victory kneels. Okay. So
Jimmy G, I mean, obviously these guys are getting paid millions, so they're not doing this, but 1.5 yards, like why would you not tell your friends to go slam that and just one run, you're good.
One run. Exactly. you could pick up 5, you know, you pick up 7 or whatever. And he, at one point I was looking at his stats, he had 12 against Arizona. Now that's, I believe, when he was a Patriot, but still, like, it's, I feel like 1.5 is disrespectful. You know what I mean? And I think he can absolutely get this. And again, he has never had under 2 in his career versus Arizona. And he's had like 6, 3, 9, 12, you know, this season. There was one game where he had 1 this season, I think 1 negative number. But for the most part, I don't know. I think it's a good one. So I would agree.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So let's get into mocks locks. My mocks locks, I already told you, Kittle on everything, but specifically his receptions over 3.5, minus 151. And I'm going to do that teaser. I'm going to do the Niners minus 4 and the under 49. That's at minus 120. You've got some interesting locks for us that are not Monday Night Football.
Yeah, we'll switch it up. Give the people a little you know, diversity. Last week, 2-0 on the mocks locks. I gave Texas money line. They won. And then Baylor plus 2.5. They should have won, but they still covered. So we'll stick in college basketball for one of these. I'm looking at Texas Tech plus 4.5 versus Creighton. Another one of those weird lines. You have the 10th ranked team in the country versus Texas Tech is ranked. They're 24th, I believe. But still very short line, short road dog. I like Texas Tech there to cover that number. And then we're going to go with the World Cup bet. I actually went pretty big on this one. Portugal to win Group H. It's okay. Yeah, I got it at minus 140. Now it's up to minus 145 on Caesars, so it's gone up a little bit. But yeah, like I said, it's so important for them to win this group because you don't want to face Brazil or Argentina, that I just think they're definitely the best team in there. And I think they're like, you need to win the group. So I think they'll be pretty focused and they should win that group pretty easily.
All right, well, let's go Portugal. Yeah. Kenny, thank you so much for joining us on a Monday Thanksgiving week. We do have a little bit shorter of a week. We'll have a podcast on Wednesday, but we'll be taking Friday off. This has been Moxie Betts presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Let's go Niners. Don't forget to follow us on social at Moxie Betts. We'll see you Wednesday.